energy so stale in the air. Everybody's running scared. We used to be so carefree. We used to be so happy. We used to have everything we need. Now we gotta
welcome to Village Mentality, where melanated people are connected in spirit, love, and community. What's up, kings and queens, beautiful people everywhere? It's your girl, CK McGee, and I am your host. Hey there, beautiful people. How's everyone doing? I pray that you're all doing as well as you can be. Welcome back to another episode of Village Mentality, the podcast. I'm so glad to have you all here with me in the village, and you're welcome to join me each and every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, I'd like to take this time to let you all know you did not miss a brand new episode last week. There was not an episode. I was practicing what I preached, and I was taking a self-care weekend, and so I was not in the studio to record the brand new episode. So I just want to thank you all for your patience and for your understanding, and I just want to make sure that you know that I am doing exactly what I'm asking of you. Right? And I'd also just like to give a warm welcome again to those of you who may be tuning in for the very first time. Now, if you're looking to see what Village Mentality is all about, then you're welcome to catch up on all previous episodes of Village Mentality on Spotify, Google Podcast, Radio Public, and Anchor. And I also provide links to each episode on both Instagram and Facebook. And I'll share those links with you at the end of the show. But thanks again to all of you for joining. It's important to me, in the spirit of spreading knowledge, that's what I like to be able to do, to make it very clear to all of you that I am a mental health and wellness advocate. I am not a mental health professional. There is a huge bit of differences between the two. One is that I do not prescribe medications, nor do I diagnose conditions. Okay. Now, as an advocate, I'm utilizing my platform to educate and to bring awareness around topics that can impact our mental health. A lot of people don't realize that you don't have to have diagnosed conditions, right, to deal with depression or anxiety. So that's one thing that I like to make clear while I'm doing this podcast. That's what I'm doing every single week. Now, in other ways, I hold space for those who simply need someone to listen to them, you know, during times of distress, as well as to act as somewhat of a sounding board when they're working through things in their lives, you know, in order to gain clarity. Now, I have learned that we can never underestimate the power of holding space for people who need to be heard, who need to be seen, who need to be understood. Because we're all navigating this roller coaster of a life, that thing that we're calling life, right? It's life. It has its ups, its downs, it goes straight, it goes sideways, it goes backwards, it goes forwards. We all need somebody, right? Sometimes just to be able to talk to someone who will listen to us without judgment or criticism, right? So those are some of the ways that I function in my role. But one of the most important things that I want to make sure to share with you is that I'm a person with diagnosed mental health conditions. And as such, it is my mission and my absolute purpose to dismantle the stigma around mental illness. So each week, again, I'll be talking about different topics that could impact our mental health. All right. So I don't want people thinking that I'm telling you you're depressed. I'm telling you that you're anxious. I'm telling you that you have bipolar. That's not what this is about. This is really about just hipping you to the things you need to be aware of in order to protect your mental health. okay? And I focus on BIPOC communities because as an African-American woman, I'm extremely concerned about communities of color and our mental health. Now, there are various groups that are represented under that acronym, and it's not that there is a higher prevalence of mental health conditions within these communities. That's not it. But it's important to note the obstacles that these communities face with regard to their access to mental health care, resources, and services, okay? So we may not all have mental illness, but we do all have mental health, and we need to make sure, beautiful people, that we're taking care of it. The purpose of this podcast is to bring awareness to the many different ways in which our mental health can be affected. And I want to show that poor mental health outcomes, are not always caused by chemical imbalance, okay? But it could be from various stressors, trauma, or circumstances that we all face from time to time in our lives. I had someone say just recently that they're pretty much tired of the word trauma. You should never be, all right? That's what the problem has been all along for all the millions of people who don't even realize that they are traumatized from events that took place in their lives years ago. So to be tired of trauma means that you don't fully understand its impact or how significant a role it plays in some of the lives of people that you're engaging with each and every day. Okay, while you're thinking that somebody is acting in sort of like a bad way or you consider it to be bad behavior, sometimes trauma can impact a person's ability to relate to others, and they themselves may not even be aware of it. So that's why through education and advocacy by individuals like myself who have lived experience, whether it is with mental health conditions or substance use, the hope is that we'll be able to show up in more effective ways to support those around us that may be suffering. And I desire greatly to normalize the facilitation of conversations around our mental health. And stigma, just so that you know it, it's a very powerful barrier for people with mental health conditions, not only in seeking support from mental health professionals, but in just being able to live the lives that they deserve to live. Now, Village, you hear me talk about this all the time, and I just got finished saying I took a self-care weekend, right? It's a very important tool, and I am really concerned that we are not fully understanding just how important practicing self-care is. Now, when you're somebody like myself, and you know who you are out there who's listening, if you're constantly pouring into others, there must be a way, you hear me? There has to be a way for you to be able to replenish all that energy that you pour out into the world. Now, trust me when I tell you that there are many different ways that you can practice self-care, especially when we view it holistically, meaning look at yourself as a whole person, every aspect of you. There is a way that self-care can help. All right? The benefits of learning to take care of ourselves, it extends far beyond us. And trust me when I tell you, beautiful people, it has a positive impact on all those whom we encounter. Now, for someone who's in crisis or who may be experiencing emotional distress, self-care isn't actually the furthest. It's not the first thing on your mind, right? In fact, you're not even really thinking about that at all. And that is completely understandable because in truth, self-care is something that you grow into. It's not an automatic practice, especially if you have been in crisis. But learning to identify the things that we need to do in order to take better care of ourselves, not only does it help you to feel good, but you'll be able to show up for others more effectively. Self-care, it's for everyone. And we need to realize that it's about self-preservation. Kings and queens, think about the way that we take care of everything else and everyone else that matters in our lives. It's time for us to stop allowing ourselves and others to cause us to feel guilty for taking time to take care of ourselves, because at the end of the day, they are the ones who will reap the benefits. So check in with your needs and live each day in a way that protects your mental health, because it's an integral part of your total health and well-being. Self-care helps us to rejuvenate our spirits and souls so that we can continue to be the fantabulous kings and queens that we most definitely are. And I'll be right here to remind us of that fact every chance I get. You dig? Now, If you've heard the show before, you know that there'll be plenty of music too. So, tonight we'll be listening to some of my favorite songs, and I hope that you'll enjoy. Without further ado, I believe that it's time for me to take my first walk of the evening to my musical jukebox. Courtney Jamal Pollard, a.k.a. Mally Music, is an American singer-songwriter from Savannah, Georgia. He learned to play the piano at the age of 5, and at 11, he was very active in the ministry of music in his church. He has released 5 studio albums and has received multiple nominations and awards. I truly love his vibe, Village. Village, here's Mally Music, and he's here to remind us of who we are. Royalty.
Royalty, royalty, powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something. Looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Wolfing sheep's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. That you've been called out of the dark into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty, yeah.
Once we weren't the people, now we are the people. Do you know who you are?
Would you let them call you those things if you knew you were a queen? And my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king? Well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you, but they don't really tell us what we do need to know. 1 Peter 2 and 6, a blessing for sure. So power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. Said that you were called out of the dark into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty.
Once we weren't the people, mercy made us a people. Now we are the people. Chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. Royalty. Chosen people, royal priesthood.
See, I've been watching you for a while, your smiling style. But I don't know if I can be with you for the night. Alright, is that alright, baby, baby? There is only one for me. You have made that a possibility. We could take that step to see if this is really gonna be. All you gotta do is say yes. All you gotta do is say yes. Don't deny what you feel. Let me undress you, babe. Open up your mind, just rest. I'm about to let you know you make me so. All you gotta do is say yes. Don't deny what you feel. Let me undress you, babe. Open up your mind, just rest. I'm about to let you know you make me so, 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 so. You make me so, 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 so. Loving you has taken time, take time. But I always knew you could be mine, mine. I recognize the butterflies inside me. My sense is gonna be made tonight, tonight. All you gotta do is say yes. All you gotta do is say yes. Don't deny what you feel. Let me undress you, babe. Open up your mind and just rest. I'm about to let you know you make me so. Oh, don't deny what you feel. Let me undress you, babe. Open up your mind and just rest. I'm about to let you know you make me so, 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 so. You make me so, 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 so. You make me so, 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 so. You make me so, 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 so.
That was Marsha Ambrosius and Andrea Harris, the group known as Flowetry, with their hit song, Say Yes. It was the second single from their debut studio album, Flowetic. The song was the group's only single to chart on the Billboard Hot 100, peaking at number 24. In 2004, the song was nominated for a Grammy Award for Best R&B Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocal, but it lost to My Boo by Usher and Alicia Keys. Well, Village, you know me. I'd like to take a little bit of time to talk about some things, whether it be about current events, entertainment, or something that's just on my mind. So why don't we get into my segment called Let's Talk About It. Okay, beautiful people. So when we were together 2 weeks ago, I was talking about Black men and their mental health. That was actually the topic for that evening's show. And this week, I wanted to kind of wrap up on some of the things that I did not get a chance to complete during that episode. So for those of you who didn't hear that, go back to Black Men Mental Health Matters so that you can listen to how I began, because I'm going to finish what I was discussing this evening, okay? Now, in addition, therapists should be aware that issues of racism and masculinity can intersect in complicated ways, okay? And that is, you know, something that we have to recognize, how it impacts Black men, right? If you're working to identify, you know, and understand how and where these domains overlap, these are the kinds of things that you need to consider as a therapist, right? You have to understand the issues of racism and masculinity, all right? Think about slavery, right? That right there is something that, you know, has a generational effect on our Black men because it has carried over in time. It didn't just start in slavery and stop there. It has continued. So these are some of the things that we need to recognize. Now, the scale that you're using to, you know, understand these different domains, it's been tested on some 600 Black men. And it explores racist gender role strain. Racist gender role strain, all right? The idea that if you endorse specific views of manhood but cannot meet them, it creates internal conflict and stress. For example, there are some Black men who may internalize ideas that they should be good protectors, providers, or role models. But Dr. Rogers said that if you're in a system that oppresses you or makes you internalize these beliefs but doesn't give you access to fulfilling them, it causes stress and frustration, all right? So it's like a double-edged sword, right? You have to like give men the space then to be all of those things. They got to be able to be employed, right? So they can provide. You know, if they're going to be protectors, then they can't be seen as threats, right? And their life, you know, their journey, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, we need to be able to amplify that journey. And so let's say, for instance, a Black man has been incarcerated, but he comes out after serving time, he should be able to come back into the community and get a job. He should be able to provide for his family. He should be able to be seen as a role model, somebody who perhaps made a couple of bad choices. He paid his dues and now is a role model because he's putting one foot in front of the other. He's making things happen in his life, and we should be applauding that, not making it more difficult for him by stigmatizing him and basically shutting him out of society again, right? That's just kind of like an example. Now, in a general sense, encouraging clients to talk about racism opens the door, the doctor says, to more fulfilling therapy overall, all right? It allows clients to feel that they can talk about anything, all right? And, you know, it's a really important piece when you can have a conversation, an open, honest conversation, okay? Now, when you're working in culturally responsive ways with Black men, it also means understanding individual differences in terms of socioeconomic status, age, you know, education, all right? You know, their country of origin, what their belief systems are, all right? Sexual orientation and more. On a broad scale, it is helpful to recognize that Black men born in the United States, for instance, probably incorporate some version of both African-American cultural values, which emphasize the importance of extended family networks, interdependence with groups and relationships, spirituality, and flexible notions of time, for example. And then there's the Eurocentric values, which emphasize individuality, nuclear family structure, and competitiveness, right? So basically, know your audience is what they're saying to mental health professionals when you're dealing with Black men. It's also important to understand the complex issues of intersectionality that Black, gay, transsexual, and bisexual men face. And that's coming from Lisa Boleg, who has a PhD, and she's a professor of applied social psychology at the George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Now, her research shows that gay Black men often experience racial discrimination from gay men who are not Black. For example, while bisexual Black men experience race and sexual orientation discrimination in both gay and heterosexual communities, right? It might be like white men, they might only, let's say, experience discrimination because they're gay or bisexual. Like, they receive discrimination, but for people of color, there's always an extra layer, okay? Any effective mental health programs, they need to work with these men holistically, and they need to look at the intersectionality of what they're dealing with, okay? So that you can focus on strengths and assets, because many of their problems arise from external factors, not internal ones. You feel me? It's coming from outside that these issues, you know, have an impact on our Black men. It's not internally, all right? And, you know, you just have to be able to, for instance, if you're having, let's say, a therapy group, right? You got to keep these things in mind. Clinicians, they need to be aware of differences in Black men's backgrounds and countries of origins and incorporate that knowledge into therapeutic work, okay? So, for instance, if you wanted to have an example, it'd be like 8% of Black men in the United States are immigrants from countries in the Caribbean, Africa, and elsewhere, and there are significant differences among them. Those who grew up in predominantly Black cultures, for example, are less likely to view themselves as inferior because they have not been exposed to historical racism in their home country. So their cultural identity may serve as a buffer. All right. So it might be Black men here in America because of what Americans face, Black Americans face, but it may be different from somebody who's, you know, from a Caribbean background, perhaps. There's, you know, celebration in being Black. There's pride in being Black. And so they don't understand, nor have they experienced, the feeling of inferiority as a Black man in America may experience, is what they're saying. So you have to understand, once again, who is your audience, right? There are many other cultural differences among these groups as well. For example, Jamaicans often identify themselves first as Jamaican and tend to frame mental, psychological, and psychiatric issues as medical or spiritual conditions that need interventions from spiritual healers, such as shamans, all right? So that's just an example of what you need to know. Now, as a mental health practitioner, said one, you should be aware of these different cultural and spiritual values, but you should also avoid overgeneralizing this information, okay? Now, something else that we want to consider when we're talking about Black men and their mental health. When we're working with Black men in group formats, it can be a powerful intervention thanks to the sense of camaraderie, all right, that these groups tend to foster. So seeing that other men have similar difficulties can make, you know, make receiving care or getting support less stigmatizing. So that's also very important to understand. All right, that they know that they're not alone, and there are others that are brave enough to share their experiences as well. And even after some of these, you know, groups, you know, some of the biggest feedbacks that a lot of mental health professionals find is that, you know, these men continue to meet outside of that setting. So it wasn't just about us coming together and talking about our trauma, right? Talking about discrimination, talking about like racism. No, you built that relationship. You built that connection, but then maybe you became friends after that and you hang out afterwards, knowing that you have this bond, this connection. All right. So let's talk about expanding the treatment lens, right? There are some psychologists that are leaving standard treatment modalities and venues behind entirely. and they're bringing interventions into communities that embrace the background, culture, and challenges of men of color, including Black men. Now, Stevenson and Powell, for example, are both well known for their research and interventions in barbershops, which demonstrate that these central social meeting places and spaces, all right, can be very powerful vehicles for encouraging healthy and help-seeking behaviors. All right? So that's something as well. Now, among the country's most innovative and comprehensive programs is the National Compadres Network, which was founded in 1988 by psychologists Jerry Tello and Ricardo Carrillo, who has a PhD. And at the time, they and like-minded providers were fed up with the mass incarceration of men of color, feeling that alternative culturally based supports and interventions were desperately needed. It was really just throwing men away because there was no proper therapy for them, said Tello, who is Mexican and a native, and who grew up with many Black peers in Compton, California. The therapy they received just did not fit. There was no understanding of what was really going on. And that was a quote, all right, from Jerry Tello. Now, the first meeting that they had, he goes on to say, included a small group of mental health providers, lawyers, teachers, you know, advocates, and others who worked in communities of color. The men soon realized that they had their own racial traumas to address before they could help others. Isn't that something? After an emotion-packed gathering, we made a commitment that we first had to recover our own sacredness as men and heal from generations of wounds due to racism and oppression. These are some really important things that, you know, Jerry is pointing out for us to consider. Okay? And so the group, he says, has since blossomed into a major national network that now includes hundreds of providers in more than 40 cities who have worked with thousands of men of color, including a large proportion of Black men. All right. So these are some of the things that, you know, need to be considered when we are thinking about our Black men. Now, Black and brown people, we kill ourselves, you know, because we've been indoctrinated, you know, about how bad we are, right? We're believing the narrative, all right? So those wounds are very, very deep in Black men. So in order for us to counter these traumas, group leaders that hold, you know, support groups, you know, hold that all men, like all beings, are sacred and have a sacred purpose. When men or boys have trouble believing this because of internalized self-hatred or actions they have taken because of it, program guides underscore that it is their wounds that are talking, not their authentic selves. For example, a man may confess that he has harmed his wife, taken drugs, or acted out in any other way that's, you know, harmful to himself or someone else. But leaders do not chastise him. Instead, they ask him to take responsibility for his actions, and then they support him in exploring the underlying trauma and sometimes intergenerational wounds that led to those actions and drew him out of his sacredness. Right? So it's a lot of things to, like, deep community-oriented support like that, that the members eventually see themselves more clearly. They gain insights that lead to healthier behaviors. You know, and the overall aim is to help men of color make positive choices despite their lived experiences and traumas. All right? Now, we all experience racism, but the choice is, do you transform it or do you transfer it? So again, the question is, do you transform it or do you transfer it? Now, if you want to transform it, then you want to come and be in these types of groups. If you want to transfer it, then you're going to keep doing what you've been doing, which isn't going to work out for you, right? Now, I know that between the show 2 weeks ago and now, it's probably a lot to take in, Village, but I appreciate your complete attention to this, as it is very important to understand Black men and their mental health so that we as a village can provide more effective support. Here's to brighter days. Now, Village, if you've been listening to the show, then you know that each and every week I talk about Black history. I believe that we should talk about Black history all year long because Black history is American history. So, forgive me, this Black History installment for this week actually comes from March 20th. So I want to make sure that you guys realize that, from March 20th. Now, on March 20th, director, producer, and writer Spike Lee was born in Atlanta. Born Shelton Jackson Lee, he became an amateur filmmaker by the time he turned 20 and would go on to create an impressive catalog of groundbreaking films, included She's Got to Have It, released in 1986, and Do the Right Thing, released in 1989. The latter centered on increasing racial tensions in the Bed-Stuy neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York. Lee was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay in 1990. He is known for his often controversial and provocative films that explore the intricacies of race relations, urban violence, and politics. Now, by the way, when we talk about that original screenplay in 1990, I do believe that was for Malcolm X, which he should have won the Oscar for, as well as my husband, Denzel Washington, my Hollywood husband in my head, for playing Malcolm X. They both should have gotten Oscars for that. I'm just saying. Now, most recently, Spike directed the Netflix hit Defy Bloods. Now, that's been out for like a couple of years, maybe. And I myself still need to look at that. So if you haven't seen it yet, check it out with me, okay? That movie, it featured Delroy Lindo, Jonathan Majors, and Melanie Thierry. Isaiah Whitlock Jr. was also in that, and the late Chadwick Boseman, all right? Now, his 2018 film, Black Klansman, was also critically acclaimed and was nominated for 6 Academy Awards and won for Best Adapted Screenplay. And that, beautiful people, is Black History Wednesday. Village, this next song is from her 8th studio album, Sex and Cigarettes, which was released in 2018. Now, the singer is struggling with, you know, breaking up and moving on from her past lover. The song was released on February 9th of 2018 by Def Jam Records, and it was the 2nd single from the album, with an accompanying music video, which premiered in March of that same year. The song won the 50th NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Song. And it also earned this singer nominations for Best R&B Performance and Best R&B Song at the 61st Annual Grammy Awards. Here she is, Miss Toni Braxton, with her song, Long As I Live.
Yeah.
this next singer is known as the queen of hip-hop soul and the queen of R&B. So if you use either one, we know who you're talking about. And if you've listened to her music, then you would know exactly why she has been called that. Her music has been the soundtrack to my generation's lives, Gen Z that is, and I know that I have loved her and respected her journey ever since she came on the scene with her song, Real Love. Okay, I guess I gave it away, right? Now, I've been watching her for years, and she is so strong, resilient, gifted, and beautiful. Here she is with her song, Good Morning Gorgeous. It's Mary J. Blige, and when we come back, I will get into today's topic. Oh.
So hard just holding on and even picking up my phone. It's hard enough to be, hard enough to stay, hard enough to be alone. I'm just trying to move along. Sometimes I do and then I don't. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Tell myself that it ain't helping. Second guessing it don't help me. I'm so tired of feeling empty. Dry my eyes, it's time to fight. It seems like I'm always against me. Seems like this is never ending. And I refuse to let it end me. Mentally, spiritually, physically, I need my peace. Oh, I need my peace. Oh, I wake up every morning and tell myself,
good morning, gorgeous.
Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and say,
good morning, gorgeous.
No one else can make me feel this way.
Good morning, gorgeous.
Good morning,
gorgeous. Good morning, gorgeous.
All the times that I hated myself,
yeah.
All the times that I wanted to be someone else,
yeah.
All the times that I should have been gentle with me, all the times that I should have been careful with me. Why did I hate myself?
Why did I hate
so intensely?
Lord, help me.
I wake up every morning and tell myself,
good morning, gorgeous.
Sometimes I gotta look in the mirror and say,
good morning, gorgeous.
No one else can make me feel this way.
Good morning, gorgeous.
Good morning,
gorgeous.
Good
morning, gorgeous.
I ain't talking about getting no hair and makeup.
Okay, kings and queens. Now, today we're going to be talking about what to do when you are feeling hopeless. What do we do when we're feeling hopeless? Now, here's the thing. I've always felt in my own personal journey that if you don't have any hope, I've always felt in my own opinion that that is a very big problem if you do not have any hope, right? I know that we can talk a lot about faith, you know, and faith is really, really important, you know, to believe that something is going to happen even when, you know, you don't see how it's going to work out, right? I believe that that's important too. But when people lose hope, it's very, in my opinion, it can be very dangerous, right? Because if you don't see any way out, if you don't think that you know, things are ever going to get better. If you only see, you know, the negative of every situation that you're in, it's kind of hard to put both feet, you know, put one foot in front of the other, right? And kind of like, I don't know, keep going, keep trying. Hope is a very powerful emotion, right? That can have a profound impact on an individual's life, as well as, you know, the world at large, the way we look at the world, right? There's a lot of stuff going on right now. And even as a woman and a woman of color, I'm looking at the world and I'm saying to myself, wow, every battle that was, you know, hard fought and won in terms of women's rights, for instance, we see that slowly but surely it's being pulled back. It's being, you know, almost erased. As a Black woman, as an African-American woman, I see that my history is a problem for a great many people in this country. And so there's an effort to erase our history from history books, for instance, or even class discussions. There's even book banning again. It's amazing to me when people are always talking about their rights, how it seems to only include them, right? What about my rights, right? What about my right to write this book? What about free speech and all of that when it comes to us talking about race relations, for instance, right? So sometimes hope, you know, might seem a little bit dim, but hope can also inspire people to persevere through difficult times, right? It can help them to pursue their dreams, their goals, and to also have the strength and resilience to overcome challenges and setbacks. This is a very important thing to like think about, you know, when we're talking about the word hope. It's only four letters, but it's so big, right? It's such a big thing. I mean, what would you do if you didn't have hope, right? I mean, just think about some of the things that might be going on in your life, right? Robert H. Schuller said, "Let your hopes, not your hurts, shape your future," right? Sometimes, actually, people have trouble, you know, finding hope in situations. They find it actually challenging to take hope seriously, right? And so, what do you do in situations that are difficult for you? Is hope something that, you know, you all can lose very easily? And if so, how do you regain it? What do you do? Do you get around people who are hopeful? Do you read? Do you listen to music? How do you get your hope? Right? Because hope definitely can give us the motivation to face those challenges that we face in life, and we all have them, right? It can also improve both of our physical and our mental health when we have hope. Hope supports the development of healthy relationships, right? Sometimes, you know, you might be sort of like dealing with a rough patch in your relationship with your significant other, you know? And sometimes, you know, you hope for the best that things will work out. I mean, there has to be some action, I think, behind it too, though, right? What do you think? I mean, hope, it supports our belief in our ability to achieve success, right? It also, you know, fosters an individual's sense of humor, and it encourages, again, resilience in the face of illness. What if you are diagnosed with a condition that seems at the time to be insurmountable? Do you think that hope is something that can see us through? I mean, hope is all about imagining and reaching for a better future for ourselves, right? It's both an emotion and it's a way of thinking. And we experience it in our brain, but it comes from somewhere or someone outside of ourselves sometimes. Hope is crucial in times of uncertainty and in dealing with adversity. Like I said, if I didn't have hope, and I think sometimes when people feel hopeless, that's when things sort of go left, right? That's when things go left. What's the value of hope? You know, hope or hopefulness. It actually enhances our ability to cope. It improves quality of life, especially in persons with chronic illnesses, like I just mentioned. To have hope, when people, you know, talk about your will to live, right? Or when people say, when there's a will, there's a way. That's hope they're talking about, right? And when you have a lack of hope, it's typically associated with depression and anxiety, which, of course, have a negative impact on the quality of our lives. Right? So what are some of the things that spread some sunshine, gives people hope in their lives? Right? When we demonstrate love and care, you know, we all need to feel that we are loved and cared for every now and then, right? When you cause people to feel like they deserve happiness, when you show people acceptance, offer them help, right? Show them some appreciation. When you help them find their passion, you stay connected, right? These are all kinds of different ways that, you know, spreading hope can really make a difference for others. So I kind of went through them quickly, but when we're demonstrating love and care, again, we all want to feel love and care for every now and then. Whether it's coming from your romantic partner, your family, or your friends. And it feels really good when you know that somebody loves and cares about you, doesn't it? You know, how do you think other people feel if you make them feel that way, right? We may never know or understand that unless we're going through it, you know, or you know, unless we see it in their lives and they're, like, devoid of it. Then we can be like, maybe we can be that person to bring that hope by showing them that love and care, right? Going out of our way to let them know that somebody cares for them, it can give them hope and it can inspire them in a positive way, right? If we're making them feel like they deserve happiness, one of the reasons why people lose hope is that they think they don't deserve to be happy. So everybody deserves happiness. If there's someone you know who has this mindset, it's time for you to do something about it. No matter the circumstances, whether good or bad, there are so many things that we should be happy about. And that's one of the things that we have to be there to remind people of, right? Showing people acceptance. No one village in this world is perfect. We're all flawed and imperfect in different ways. However, there are going to be those times when we feel that we're not enough, that we're insufficient, right? But when we know that some people can look beyond our so-called weaknesses and flaws, that also gives us hope. And this is how we're supposed to make others feel too. Learn how to show people you accept them and care for them, regardless of who they are and what they do. Show unconditional love and make them feel valued. We can also offer help. Whether they say it or not, people need a helping hand from time to time, right? We all do. If you know a friend or just anyone who needs any type of help, be there for them. No matter how little help you can offer, it means so much to someone who is struggling, right? How about showing people appreciation? It's not every day that we hear a compliment or appreciation for someone. You know, the other day I was having dinner with my family. My sister-in-law had made dinner, and I had watched her seamlessly just not only prepare dinner for that evening, but for the whole week. She's a busy, you know, mom of two, and it's a busy household. My niece and nephew, oh my goodness, they're busier than most adults. But she has it all the way together, ladies and gentlemen. And I watched her as she went about her business. It was like she was conducting an orchestra, a symphony even. It was so seamless the way she went about doing her work. Well, after it was all said and done, like abracadabra, dinner was on the table. And might I add, it was quite tasty. I paid her a compliment. And I really believe in telling people when they do good things. I really do believe in telling people how you feel about them, like all those positive things. And she said to me, "Oh my gosh, you're making me feel so good right now." When you show people appreciation, it makes a difference. And a lot of times we take things for granted. We take people for granted. Okay? Sometimes to go that extra mile to let somebody know that they make a difference, or that their dinner is delicious, or something special about them, it makes them feel good. So if you feel like a person deserves recognition for an accomplishment or something good that they did, make sure that you take the time to let them know, village. Give someone a pat on the back for a job well done, and it will be more than enough to put a smile on their face. Maybe we can help people find their passion. You know, people who are driven by their passion are happier and more hopeful. They are the ones who seem to have a better direction and know their purpose. Yes, there's something about having purpose that gives you that sense of direction, and it gives you an abundance of hope. Take it from me. This is my purpose, my life work. All right? And so if they are not able to find their purpose, or they feel like they've lost their track, help somebody by reminding them of their strengths. Remind them of the things that they're good at and of the things that they love doing, right? And then also stay connected, all right? Some people won't let you know that they just need your company. Some friends or even family won't tell you when they want your presence. However, if there's anything anyone needs in this world, it's your time and presence in their lives. More than material things and possessions, there's no better gift that we can give our loved ones than our time. Nothing can substitute the time you spend with those who need it. Be there to celebrate with them when they're happy, and be there to comfort them when they're sad. It may be a simple gesture, but it's more than enough to make others feel blessed and hopeful. Life is never perfect, and it's always going to have its ups and downs, beautiful people. And it is during the difficult times that a word of encouragement and gestures of kindness are most helpful. So take time to sprinkle kindness and to bring hope to the lives of others. You'll never know just how far it can go until you do it. Here's to brighter days.
Made for something I'm made for. Something I'm made
I need to know.
Can't get things
tell
about
me
you.
If I'm fine.
That was Billie Eilish with her Oscar-winning song from the film Barbie, What Was I Made For? It was commercially successful worldwide and reached number one in Australia, Ireland, Switzerland, and the United Kingdom, peaking at number 14 on the Billboard Hot 100 in the U.S. It received 5 nominations at the 66th Annual Grammy Awards, including Record of the Year. And it won for Song of the Year, which became the first song from a movie since My Heart Will Go On from Titanic, sung by Celine Dion, to win in this very same category. And it was followed by my girl Brandy with one of her biggest hits, Sitting in My Room. It was written and produced by Babyface, who, you remember, Village, just kept cranking them out back in the 90s. He was like King Midas. Everything he touched was gold. You dig? Now, this song came from the soundtrack of 1995's film Waiting to Exhale. Some of us are still waiting to do that, aren't we, ladies? And it starred my beloved Whitney Houston and the queen herself, Angela Bassett. It reached number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100, becoming her most successful song to chart at that time. All right, beautiful people, it's time for this week's inspirational story. The name of this week's story is called Keep Moving. I want to say forward. Always forward. Here's the story. A college class was, going through graduation practices, and its graduation day finally came. It was on a hot and humid day. Now, as the graduates walked across the platform and received their diplomas from the president of the college, he smiled, shook their hands, and said loudly, "Congratulations." Then, in a much lower voice, one that was firm and could be heard only by the graduates, he would say, "Keep moving." He was only trying to keep the line moving across the stage, but his words were good advice for a lifetime. Keep moving. After every achievement growing up, graduation, marriage, job promotion, even retirement, the best advice is keep moving. Don't stop. And don't stagnate. So what's the moral of the story, Village? There's more to life than you have found thus far. And this is not the end. It's only the beginning. So keep moving. When we approach life with this attitude, we look forward to the future and what God has in store for us. Here's to brighter days.
Afraid I don't know how. Cause there's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change. Cause love, so many people use your name in vain. Love, those who have faith in you sometimes go astray. To get to know you, longing for your kiss,
for your kiss, touch, for your
feel, your presence. Many nights I've cried from the things you do. Felt like I could die from the thought of losing you. I know that you're real, with no doubts and no fears and no questions.
Oh yeah.
Girl, you know what he- shine so bright. No, I love the way he speaks. I love the way he thinks. I love the way that he treats his mama. I love that gap in between his teeth. I love him in every way that a woman can love a man, from personal to universal, but most of all it's unconditional. You know what I'm talking about? That's the way I feel.
And I always will.
There ain't no substitute for the truth. Either it is or it isn't. You see the truth and needs no proof. Or it isn't. And you know the truth by the way it feels. And if I am a reflection of him, then I must be fly. Because he is, yes he is. I wonder does he know?
I really love Music Soul Child's voice. And his song, Love, has always been one of my favorites. It debuted on the Billboard Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs chart on December 30th of 2000, and it spent 38 weeks on the chart. All right, the last time it was on the chart, it was September 15th, 2001. Wow, 2001, September. A couple of days later, that was. And it peaked at number 2. And that's just one of those songs, beautiful people, where it's all about the lyrics for me. And it doesn't, you know, I don't know. It's about the lyrics. And it's I think what was really cool for me about that song is like he was actually having a conversation with love. He was talking to love. I just loved that. I don't know. That's just me. I guess I just really enjoyed that song so much. But anyway, let me stop like blabbering on. That song was followed by NDRE's Voyage to India. And this was from her second album, The Truth, released in September 2002. Now, The Truth is a song that I believe Village is underrated. And while it may not have been one of her more successful songs, I wanted to play it for you anyway. The album itself, though, did very well. Debuted at number 6 on the Billboard 200. All right, with first week sales of on over 100,000 copies. And it topped the R&B hip hop albums with, it topped that chart, excuse me, and it was certified platinum. I'm still like thinking about that song. I just love it. Now, at the 2003 Grammy Awards, it won Best R&B Album, and the single Little Things won Best Urban Alternative Performance. The song Get It Together, which is also a favorite of mine, was featured on many film soundtracks, including Brown Sugar in 2002 and Shark Tale in 2004. Well, kings and queens, it looks like we've come to the end of another show. I do hope that the information provided will be of help to you. Remember, it is always a good idea to do your own research no matter what the topic is, especially if your life is involved. It has always been my pleasure and my honor to be here with you in the Village, and I enjoy being with you here each and every week. I'm hoping that you'll join me again next week. Thanks for tuning in. And please be sure to follow Village Mentality on Instagram at villagementality.ckm, as in Mary, and on Facebook at Village Mentality, the podcast. You can also catch all episodes of Village Mentality on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Radio Public. And again, you can check out those links that are available on Instagram at villagementality.ckm, as in Mary, and on Facebook, Village Mentality, the podcast. All right. Now, just remember, God has got me and he's got you, too. Be blessed, beautiful people. And here's to brighter days.
energy's so stale in the air. Everybody's running scared. We used to be so carefree, used to be so happy, used to have everything we need.
Yeah, right.